It's a ritual, a custom, a good habit on Transcendent Tuesday to get in touch with Dr. Don Clark. Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments, a biochemist, so he's a scientist in his own right, and we always look to, well, we look to Don for two things. One, he's an expert on Genesis and a superb teacher on Genesis and biblical creation, and his science background enables him to speak with some expertise on a huge variety of things. Don, we've talked about COVID over the years. We've talked about animals and plants and the air and CO2 and a lot of scientific things, including a lot of stuff on COVID vaccines. Today, a topic that we've touched on many times, but this is a different aspect of it that we've talked about before. It's the Green Energy Initiative. It's the net zero people that think we should not be using petroleum to power cars or generate electricity for us. This article brings up the supply chain, and it doesn't surprise me, but it impresses me that there are more than 6,000 products in our lives, daily lives, products that did not exist before the 1900s that derive from petroleum. What will become of us if we limit drilling for oil?
Well, if we eliminate petroleum products, or as they like to call it, fossil fuels, I mean, fossil fuels has this connotation that, oh, these are really old, and they were formed during the fossil period or the period many, many years ago, and that is the case, but it wasn't millions of years ago, of course, for those who believe in a young Earth creation. But thousands of years ago, at the time of the flood, a lot of these oil deposits, from plants and animals that were trapped in the sediment that caused these deposits in the first place. And now there's new evidence to say that, this oil just seems to be forming on its own.
It replenishes itself. That's amazing to me, based upon the old mode of thinking.
The oil fields, I mean, even here in Texas, the oil fields that they said, okay, we've depleted all of the oil in this oil field, and then they come back several years later, and voila, there's more oil there. So where is it coming from? Is it seeping from other parts of the ground and going into the reservoirs under the earth? We don't know yet. So
we've run out of dinosaurs, so it can't be that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That's an interesting point in itself. But this whole article, of course, deals with fossil fuels or petroleum products used for energy in order to generate energy. And, of course, we've discussed on this program many times before that solar and wind aren't going to cut it. Hydroelectric, if you can make a significant amount of dams, which they've done in the past, but we're not creating any more of those or building any more of those. So hydroelectric energy is not the solution, it appears, and people don't want to invest in nuclear power, which would give us a clean form of energy. Yes, you've got to deal with the waste, and is it completely safe? Well, probably not completely safe, but is anything completely safe? I mean, in order to, as we've talked about, in order to get the solar panels, for example, and the batteries and a means of storing the energy, you've got to dig up tons and tons, hundreds and thousands of tons of dirt in order to get the rare earths that are used in making these storage batteries and in making systems that you can store the energy for a period of time. And guess what? That massive equipment to dig up all of the dirt uses diesel, obviously diesel fuel, which is a petroleum product. So we couldn't even manufacture, for example, the windmills or the solar panels without having petroleum products.
Yeah, I should mention that in the article we're discussing, and by the way, there's a link to this Cornwall Alliance article right now in the chat window at BrokenRoadRadio.com. Be interesting read. It's a short article, but a powerful and well-written. They link to a one-minute video that's been viewed more than 800,000 times on social media right now. And it's a cell phone video. And there the speaker's talking about all the materials that comprise wind turbines and solar panels that derive initially from petroleum. We couldn't make those things without petroleum at this point. But Don, I've got to ask, if there are 6,000 products, and, you know, from plastics, metals, fertilizer, lots of things, wouldn't science be able to develop new ways to make those things? And isn't that happening right now all around the world?
New ways to make plastics. Well, you need...
new materials. Well, we talk about reclaiming plastics from the ocean. There's a new 3D printing process for batteries, which has great promise. That's a Japanese study going on right now. Or using plankton or other plant materials, we're replacing meat with plant stuff, plant-based meat tasting, which does not appeal to me particularly. But nonetheless, wouldn't science find new ways of doing this? But the real question is, how long would it take?
Well, we might find new ways of doing this. I mean, you can get oil from olives and nuts and, you know, trees and things like that. So you can get oil from other sources. It's just that we have so much oil, you know, in the ground. Why do we want to make it more expensive to capture the oil that we need in order to make all of these products?
Well, it's a matter of scale. The article also mentions there are 50,000 jets moving people and products and more than 50,000 merchant ships for global trade, not to mention military and space programs as well. That's a huge demand for this oil. I can't see squeezing olives to get that same job done.
No, you'd have to grow a lot of trees in order to get that much oil. So we're going to be dependent on obviously oil and oil products for a long time. Not to mention, you don't have a battery powered airplane. At least we haven't discovered how to do that yet. We do have these model drones, for example, that are battery powered and not gasoline powered. But to transport people, that is a long way off, if indeed it ever happens.
Well, consider this, wind-powered sailing craft. What a novel idea that is. I mean, it's happened centuries ago, but it takes a month to cross the ocean, you know. I don't think
it takes a long time. Mm-hmm. We've gotten, you know, our instant society, you think they're going to put up with, okay, now it's going to take you a month to 2 months to get to Europe. Are you sure you want to go on this vacation where you only have a week or two weeks in order to, you know, tour Europe? Well, you're not going to have the time, for one thing, and then you're up like the early sailors were. You're left up to the wind as to whether or not you're going to be moving or not. And then if you get into a squall, guess what's happened? You're going to be, you know, blown off course. And so there's many, many issues with going back to the older technologies. But if you wanted to replace plastics, I suppose you could do it for the most part with either stone or with wood. But I can't see necessarily driving a car with wooden wheels, for example, how comfortable that would be. And then, you know, we're moving in the direction of putting plastic into everything. I mean, when I was growing up, and I'm sure when you were growing up, everything in a car was pretty much metal. Yes, there was oil and grease and those type of things. But for the most part, everything was either metal. There was wood. I mean, mm-hmm. in the olden days,
wooden steering wheels, wooden dashes, yeah,
wooden steering wheels, which were beautiful, of course. And then there was this van, if you will, called Woody, where the panels were wood on the outside. And so we could go back, you know, to that. But the direction of things is that we're making more and more plastic to put in these vehicles. You got plastic bumpers now. You got plastic, you know, everything in the interior of the car is plastic. And so we're becoming more and more dependent on petroleum products, not less and less dependent. So I don't see the oil taps being shut off anytime soon, and maybe never. Now, we can conserve some of the oil that we have and limit it to only the manufacturing process. One of the points that this gentleman pointed out in his article here is that solar and wind manufacture nothing. In other words, you can't make anything out of solar and wind power. You can get electricity, and that's about it. And, of course, you can make things that are already made using the electricity, like cooling your food in a refrigerator, for example. But to make the refrigerator, guess what? You need petroleum products in order to do that. And even the coolant in your refrigerator, in your compressor, and all of the various parts that are used in your refrigerator are made from petroleum products. Oh yes, we still have some metal in there, but in order to heat up the metal, what are you going to use? Well, you're either going to use coal. Coal was coal-fired steel mills. We used to have those in this country, but we've transported or exported all of that those type of jobs out of this country, which is a little concerning in itself, because if we needed to manufacture steel on our own, could we make enough steel to even survive these days? And I believe the answer in the short term is no. Of course, the American ingenuity could get us back in operation relatively soon, but we would have to throw the environmental protection regulations out the window in order to do it. So we're not getting rid of fossil fuels anytime soon, and anybody who says, oh, we need to stop drilling and we need to turn over to this clean form of energy is blowing smoke, because it's impossible to do. And even if you start switching, some of the things that would happen, for example, is that the cost of everything would escalate. We're used to a certain standard of living, and over the past 2 years, of course, with the help of a certain administration, that cost of living has now gone sky high because of inflation, by foolishly throwing money at various things instead of using our money wisely. They are using it on kinds of foolish things. And, so we have this inflation that is eating up the middle-income folks. And so we're turning into a society of folks that are either super rich because, they're the owners of Amazon and the big tech companies, or they're in government, and it's interesting that a person who goes into government with a limited salary comes out multi-billionaire or millionaire.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it is. They must have found some ways of investing that I'm not familiar with, in order to and must have certainly squandered their but saved their pennies in order to be able to invest in the first place, to come out with multiple millions of dollars at the end of their career. I say that facetiously, obviously. So first of all, as we're seeing, the cost of everything is going up. We were obviously energy independent at the end of the last administration, and now we are totally energy dependent on other countries to supply us, even with the fossil fuels that they're trying to cut off, so we can keep this economy going. But just think of it. If you did away with fossil fuels, You're not going to have fertilizer for your ag products. You're not going to be able to run the tractors I can't imagine a battery operated tractor. You know, it's anything is possible given the ingenuity of man. And that, you know, possibly could come in the future, but you still need energy. You need the energy to be, produced somehow. But without chemicals, for example, you wouldn't have fertilizers. You wouldn't have pesticides. You wouldn't have, insect and antifungals that are absolutely needed in agriculture in order to produce the crops. Now, we could go back and we could go to organic means of farming, which actually would be better, much better for us. But that even that would take time, and it would take time to change our fields over from a synthetic fertilizer, because we've been burning the ground with the salts in the synthetic fertilizer, to a more natural way of doing it, like putting manure on the ground. But hey, we want to get rid of the cows and the sheep and the goats and the chickens and all of these animals that produce the manure that you would need in order to go organic.
It's all that nasty all that nasty methane that's part of the problem, huh?
Oh, the methane is, oh my goodness. I mean, gee, if we could even use that for energy, guess what? Some people are doing it, using it for energy. But, the insanity of this all. without the fertilizers, without the petroleum products, without the plastics, we're talking about, starvation in many, many parts of not only this country, but the world. So your food supply, and then you couldn't transport your food supply, even if you could make your food supply, which wouldn't be a big deal if we went to local farms again and then had farm to market, local community markets. But not every place. We're building these big cities, and you can't have a farm right in the middle of a city. Well, you could if you turn your parks into a little farm, but that's not going to feed the whole city. And so there's we're generating issues for ourselves in cutting ourselves, doing great damage to potentially causing the population to decrease. If we implement some of these things in a big way, as they want to implement them.
And there's a list of the drawbacks in this article, too, for those that would like to follow that link at brokenroadradio.com. Just click on it on the chat window there. But they talk about the dangerous reduction in the availability of all the products we use in the modern world. We've talked about that: plastics, paints, pharmaceuticals, fertilizers. A huge reduction in the food supply, leading to mass starvation in countries that impose net zero if all nitrogen fertilizers are banned. And for those who survive the above outcomes, of financial collapse, including a deep depression and a consequent collapse in our standard of living. And with that, a huge reduction in environmental protection, because we no longer have the products and fuels needed to engage in environmental protection. Net zero seems to be, I'm trying to think of an adjective, stupid?
Well,
naive, maybe?
You can have a goal. It's all right to have a goal to say, hey, maybe there is some application, for example, of battery-powered cars and for generating some of our energy via solar or wind or, water, various things like that, without necessarily relying. I mean, diversification is the name of the game in financial institutions. If you want to protect yourself against calamity, diversify. So, diversification is great, but to say that we're going to eliminate a major portion of the way our economy runs is absolutely insane. insane. And that's where the problem comes in. And if you did this, guess what? We would not have a military defense, because our military, you know, you have to be able to make the bombs and make the bullets and the tanks and the everything that we use these days to defend ourselves, not to mention the energy that you need in the form of diesel fuel and other types of fuel, jet fuel and everything, in order to power our military machine. All that would go away. We would be defenseless, and those countries that do not have net zero policy, like China, for example, would be able to come in without a fight and take over our country. That sounds exciting. You know, that would be something that we can look forward to. So, you know, we would become dependent on those countries that are not net zero. And so it is ludicrous for us to even think that this would even work on a small scale, much less let's plunge the whole country into doing this.
And Don, I need to apologize. We're having some audio problems here, and I think there's an internet slowdown going on. So your audio is starting to break up here. But there's another whole aspect to this that we haven't addressed yet, and that's this marshaling of economic and political forces to crush fossil fuel use. If you would maybe encourage and inform the private sector on what works and what doesn't, they can react to the need and produce products at the right time when the technology exists. But to force it on economies is suicide. Don Clark, again, a member of the board of Creation Moments. CreationMoments.com is their website, and there you will find a tremendous amount of information that supports the biblical story of creation, and it relates to the economy and the energy and God's way of doing things, even down to farming and taking care of your fields. I mean, there's so much that pertains, particularly from the Old Testament and Genesis, to the way we should be living and the way it was started and the way it was designed to work. So we recommend a trip to creationmoments.com. We got a lot of good information in on this article. And again, if people would like to follow up on that, it's cornwallalliance.com. You can see it's .org. But you can link from the chat window at brokenroadradio.com and take a look at that article. Don, take care. Okay.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
So long.